You're listening to The Tech Box.
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of The Tech Box. My name's James Honeyball and I've got with me Dave Rich. Hi, Dave.
Hello, James. We live.
We do live. Welcome, everyone, to the annual episode.
Has it been a year? It's not been a year yet. We're still in.
We're still in July, and the last one went out last August.
Yeah, so 10 months in.
Yeah, that's true. So it's kind of like more regular than yearly, which is good.
Yeah, so happy.
So how have you been?
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been busy. Lots of moving parts. Hopefully going to get a bit more time to myself, so we should be able to do these a bit more on the regular. I know we always say that, so not on Camille, but...
got to aim for 6 monthly, haven't we?
We got to, double would be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
How have you been, James? I hear you've been here, there, and podcasting everywhere, so you're not as busy currently, I would suggest.
I'm not actually as busy as you would suggest, because I'm taking a little bit of time off work for various reasons. So doing a sabbatical.
I was going to say, do they call that a sabbatical?
They do.
Stuff that people dream of, yeah?
So it's a life of leisure, but I do have a long list of things that I want to do, and that'll play into a couple of things that we'll have a little bit of a chat about. But I guess the main thing on that is, as you'd probably predict, it's disappearing like sand through the fingers, and I'll end up going back to work and having not done anything and just sat around and sat in my pants all day. And I guess you've got to take the positives and just sort of say, well, you know, there's some good things coming from that. But I am going to do a little bit of travelling as well. So one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Japan for a little bit.
Very nice.
That, this month. So maybe we'll have a little bit of a talk about things that I might want to look at and bring back from Japan.
I've always wanted to visit Japan. It's on the list. I'm not big on travel. I don't like sand and I don't like the heat. I much prefer a nice sterile air conditioned building, preferably with no windows.
Sounds like Japan should be quite good for you then. Yeah. So I don't think there's a lot of sand there.
It's always appealed to me because it's a high tech. Again, they're quite sterile. I would say a sterile country. They like things small and
tidy,
compact. Yeah,
and clean. That's one of the things that I'm kind of looking forward to, is that get a sense of their personality, because they're always the ones that at the end of a World Cup game, all their fans bring out bin bags and tidy up after themselves. And I think that is a really admirable characteristic, isn't it? Of a country. So I'm looking forward to that kind of different culture.
Yeah, the wife is adamant that she's not going to go, and I don't know why. I think it's probably down to the food, but if I can relent on sitting on a sandy beach somewhere, then I might try. And so the problem with sand, James, is it scratches.
It scratches things. Yeah.
As someone who likes tech like myself, it's a nightmare to think about all those scratchy glass particles floating around, you know.
I do appreciate that, but I think just the pleasure of sitting on the beach in the sun.
Have you seen the beaches?
Overrides
they're
it.
So
I'm not
dirty.
Talking about sitting.
People
I'm not talking
bury
about sitting
stuff
on a,
and all sorts.
I'm not sitting on a British beach. I'm sitting on a Caribbean beach with, you know, palm trees and, you know, perfect white sand and turquoise water and the sun beating down. That's where I'm relaxing, and I just have to basically not bring your top line tech down onto the beach.
Yeah, but you can never get the sand away. You can never get it's on you as a person. That's the problem. You're going to take it back and infect it. Maybe I am thinking Hornsey Beach, but or you know,
it's Skeggy.
Yeah.
See, I don't know which British beaches are stones and which ones have got.
I'd take stones any day.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally see where you're coming from, and
it gets boring sat there after a while. Yeah, I want to be up and doing something, not just baking.
Yeah, I think it's because I can quite happily sit there and just sort of relax and do nothing for a little bit, And, you know, normally you're only on holiday for a week or so, aren't you? So,
And no kids as well. So equally having sand thrown at you is the downside. Yeah.
I guess you could still have a little kid next to you chuck a sandy ball in your face as you're delicately have got your iPhone out and you're reading it.
The only thing worse than your own kids is somebody else's. Terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what everyone is going to want an update on is, because I can see episode notes from last time, and that's the Apple polishing cloth. How has that performed over the year?
Well, it's performed that well. I've now got another one. I've got two.
Oh, my God.
I've got two.
That is beyond parody.
I think what happened is every time I get a little bit bored and think, do you know what, I'd love something Apple.
Yeah.
I purchase another polishing cloth, you know, so I can keep one polishing cloth nice and use the other one.
Okay, yeah. So you've got like a premium polishing cloth that never gets used, put in a display case, and then you actually use this other one for actually polishing stuff.
No, so I don't. What I found I use, do you remember the old black polishing cloths that came with all the old MacBook Pros back in the day?
I kind of don't, but I can imagine them, I think.
So probably up till about 2015 time, it used to be folded like a little envelope, and it used to be really thin black microfiber cloth with an Apple logo on, a black on black Apple logo. And I've got hundreds of them, loads of them. And again, they're just as premium and they feel really nice. And they're sort of like a soft microfiber. What I've found with these £19 jobbies from Apple is they're very hard. They're very hard. And I've even washed one to see if it would soften it up, and it hasn't. It's very thick and very coarse. It's like it's double layered. So subsequently, you feel like you're rubbing whatever you're rubbing with like a face cloth. So they don't feel very premium or microfiber. So they're both subsequently sat not being used. And I'll use the black, really nice microfiber ones that are probably about 10 years old. Well, longer than 10 years old. We're talking about 2010 to 2015. So
nice. You know. So you got two Apple polishing cloths. But you don't use either of them. You just use the ones that came with the MacBooks 20 years ago. Okay.
Of course. Nice. Makes perfect sense.
That does make perfect sense. And all your other, you know, your other sort of stable of Mac gear, has that been, I guess we can't speak about it for too long, but has that remained with you? So the studio display and the MacBook Air M2?
So the studio, the Mac Studio, it's my main machine, sits on the desk, and the studio display. I actually think, so that it's a year in, my Apple Care is being renewed on them both this month, because it's on the yearly renewal.
Okay.
And so it's been a year, probably the longest Mac I've ever owned, and it's like, you know, the old Mac Pros back in the day, they'll just go on for 10 years. I mean,
yeah, I would imagine so.
The good thing about this as well is they're not refreshing it with the latest chip, are they? The rumour is that they're not going to get a refresh on the Mac Studio until
straight to the M4.
Yeah, so it'll be M4 next summer. So I've had 2 years out of this being peak device.
Yeah.
So I don't even have envy that, I mean, I'm not going to. It's got 32 gig of RAM, 12 cores. It's more than I'll ever need, he says. But there's no reason why it just can't do what it's doing for me, because it doesn't really particularly get taxed neither. It's just a solid machine. It's like having an Apple TV. You go to it, you turn it on, you use it, it does everything, jobs are good.
Yeah. And the M2, so MacBook Air?
Yep, still use that.
And you went for the base one of that, didn't you?
I did, yeah, because I thought, I've got 32 gig of RAM on my desktop, I don't possibly need it. So if any virtual machines that I run on the Mac Studio, that's formed my basis. This is more of if I'm away from overnight somewhere for a couple of days, or when I'm sat downstairs and I just need to, you know, do a bit of YouTube browsing or maybe a bit of notes for some work. Then this is like the third Mac M2 I've had though, so it's not. I don't think it's the original one. For some strange reason, I got rid of the original one, regretted it. And I've got another one, but I changed the colour.
Okay, what colour are you on now?
So I'm on Space Black. It was Midnight, the original one. And this is the Space Black, is it? Or Black, or whatever they call it. I did not like that Midnight colour, and I think that was part of my non-use of it, because it just looked horrendous with all the smudges.
It couldn't have been the same model with two blacks, could it? You mean Space Grey?
Sorry, Space Grey.
So you've gone to Space Gray.
I've gone to Space Gray. So I've gone from the Midnight Blue.
Yeah, I know the one. So you've gone from like the black one that was super smudgy.
Yep.
And now you're on the classic Mac Pro colour of the dark silver.
Yeah, and it's much better, infinitely better. And I don't know why that has any bearing on my use for it, but I do. I use it a lot more than what I used to.
I still think silver's the best colour for MacBooks. Unfortunately, I could only get Space Grey for my MacBook Pro, but I do like a silver MacBook.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I have a MacBook Pro last time we spoke?
I think you had that Air M2.
Yeah, so I've had the M1 MacBook Pro as well. I think that's the one that you've got, isn't it? The 14-inch.
Yeah,
so I had that. I think I had that before the studio, Mac Studio.
I really like it, but even though it's the 14-inch one rather than the 16-inch one,
yeah,
it's dense and heavy.
Yeah, yeah, it's a nice machine.
I really appreciate I'm just not getting weaker as I get old, but I really appreciate lighter bits of tech. So I still have my 12-inch MacBook, which is nice and light and small and portable and great. And I just wish that they did a refreshed one of those. They don't even have to put like an M4 in it or anything. They can just put an M1 in it and I'd be totally happy. But they don't, which is annoying. But similarly, I do have the iPhone 15 Pro Max, and even though that's lighter than the 14 Pro Max, it's still a heavy beast.
Yeah.
And I really, and I've got other phones lying around. I really appreciate when you pick up a lighter phone. And I don't know whether we talked about it last episode, but I guess bringing you on to your current configuration, one of the things that I didn't like about the Pixel 8, and I believe you do have a Pixel 8 as your main phone, is that it's actually fairly dense and heavy. I don't know whether you see that as a good thing, like quality, or whether you think that that is a little bit irritating as well.
So I have the 15 Pro Max. As always, I'm in the Apple ecosystem. I've got everything, but I do have a Pixel 8 as well, which I'm of the opposite. I love it. Compare that to my Pro Max. My Pro Max just feels huge.
True.
It's nice to have a phone that will sit in the pocket or a pair of shorts, certainly with summer, that I get all the benefits of a really nice bright screen. I get to dabble in Android, and it's nice. I got that since I've run that Bleeper app. Beeper. You know, the one that receives iMessages.
Oh, yeah.
So I still run the old version of that before they swapped it over. And I get my iMessages on it, and I could just pick up either. And I generally find myself picking up the Pixel 8 all the time. I love it. I love that. I see what you mean about it being dense, and I think having it in a case doesn't help that. Certainly if you have it out of a case, you're mitigating a lot of that. Which case did you have it in? Did you have it in the Google?
Cheap plastic. Clear TPU, as always.
See, I buy the Google one for it, the coral one, because I love the colour. And, I definitely know what you mean, but I don't understand how, if you have a 15 Pro Max, you don't prefer it.
I think the thing is that I'm directly comparing it to the Pixel 5, which I guess is its closest.
Yeah, see, I never had that. I jumped in at the 6... So I had all the 6s, all the 7s, and all the 8s. And I'd have an 8A, as well. I'm playing with one of them in the shop. If I didn't already have a Pixel 8, I'd probably have an 8A. Lovely phones. Lovely.
You're saying that the 8A would be better? Because it's kind of bigger and bezelier, isn't it?
It's bezelier, but you've got a plastic back. So, I don't know, there's something in my head that instantly gets ticked that says... I've got all the good stuff that's in the Pixel 8, but I've almost got it in like a 5C version, the iPhone 5C. So, I don't have to really baby it as much, if that makes sense. I like the 8 series, I really do. I think they're great value for money.
The 8 series are good. It's got a smaller screen. And
more bezel.
And more bezel, it's slightly bigger as a phone. So,
but you're paying less.
Are you? Because
I've
on GiftGaff it's $399.
What are they on Amazon? Amazon,
I can see that you can get one for $393.
Yeah, so that's not expensive, is it?
Oh, sorry, that's refurbished. That's refurbished. But, yeah, GiftGaff is the place where they're sort
of... $449. Would you say that's... I wouldn't say that's expensive for a phone. And again, they've shot themselves in the foot here because it is rather close to the spec of the Pixel 8. So for those that have got the Pixel 8, you lose too much at too high a price. But if you're going for a Pixel 8, you don't lose enough to make you think you're missing out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I sort of see where you're going. But at the moment, you can get the Pixel 8 cheaper than the 8A. And I think that's the point. You'd never get an 8A because you can just get an 8 cheaper.
Well, Amazon $509. It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
Well,
it's such a good phone.
It's a good phone for $399, but anything more than that, I think it's then starting to get a little bit expensive. What I was mentioning on TTUK when I was chatting to Kev about the Pixel 8 is that the performance is, I find, quite stuttery on it.
That's always been the case, though, with Pixel.
Well, if we go back to the Nexuses of old and the early Pixels, I think they prided themselves on how smooth the interface was.
I had a 7 Pro and it just constantly overheated all the time. I couldn't use the camera to video 4K because it would just overheat, and that's in the UK. But I would say the Nexuses were over-provisioned because they were for developers, whereas they've sort of gone the other way here. They want to try and get the price down for the consumers. So I don't know. I think they're great value. I'd much rather have this over Samsung any day.
I suppose when they are on bargain pricing, and I would put the Pixel 8 for $399 at GiftGaff as bargain pricing, I think you can't really argue with that per se, but I think they could still do better. I think it's like to do better.
So
for the
full
Google
price
Pixels.
Then, if the Pixel 8 is $559, is it? Or somewhere near that. For around £550, what Samsung device would you have that's better?
That's a very good question because I don't know the Samsung range. I guess you'd probably look at going for a second-hand phone. That's a bit of a cop-out answer,
I think it'd be an A54, an A53, something like that. So they're around the 300, 350 mark. Potentially a lower S24 or an S23 previous. But I don't think they're as good as the Pixel. I genuinely don't. I don't think the cameras are as good. I think you have to go high end on a Samsung to get really good.
Yeah. No, I think the highest end Samsungs are undeniably good. You know, the Folds, the Ultras, the S. You know, those are great.
So I'm just looking on Samsung's site here. Yeah, an S24. Okay. So what's an S24? What size is the screen?
The base one. Yeah.
Yeah, the base S24. With 8 gig of RAM, 128 gig storage, is £649. And I would say that's a similar screen size to the Pixel 8, so 6.1, something like that.
Do you know what? I'd probably go for that over the Pixel at the moment.
Really?
Even though my favourite...
Why?
My favourite Android phone is the Pixel 7 Pro still. And I'm sure it would be the 8 Pro, but I've not used that, yeah?
Why would you go for the S24?
Because it's tons lighter than the Pixel 8.
Okay.
Like 20 grams lighter.
Right.
The screen will be better.
Marginally, I would say. I would say it probably goes brighter.
It'll be smooth. Oh, well, if I got a... I'd want the Snapdragon one. Snapdragon 8 Gen 3.
Well, you can't... You have to have a UK one, so what do we get in the UK?
I get an Exynos 2400, which is probably not too far different. It's probably identical to the Tensor 3.
Exactly. So that's what
you
peel
the sticker off.
Apples for apples. So the weight of the Pixel 8 is 187 grams. The Samsung Galaxy S24 is 167. So, yeah, massively different in weight there. 6.2, they're both 6.2. Inches screen size. Resolution, they're both 1080p. One Pixel's Victus normal. Victus 2 on the S24.
I suppose what I'm saying is I'd have a hard I'd have a hard decision to make if you said to me, here's, you either get one or the other.
But it's more money, isn't it?
Naturally, it should be, oh, I'll go for the Pixel.
Hmm.
But
seven years of support.
I'd have a head scratch on it.
Is it?
Yeah, but no one's ever going to use that 7 year support, are they?
Mark me, I'll do it.
Okay, well, we'll check back in
on the next episode,
Box 30, and we'll see how you're getting on.
I just love it. I've every year I've had the Pixel, and granted, I've had the Pixel, and I got a Pixel 6A, I think. I've had a 6, but I buy them, I get rid of them mid year because they're sat on my desk and I'm just using the iPhone. I did the same for 7. I think I went back again and got another 7, but still ultimately did the same. This time, though, I've had maybe one or two Pixel 8s, but I'm drawn to them. I'm drawn to them. Out of every other phone in that price range, I would much rather have a Pixel 8, and I don't know why. It gets worse. I'm fearing the Pixel 9 that I want one. I don't want to spend the money.
Well, hopefully they will have sorted a few things out and everyone will want one. But one of the things is that when the Pixel 9 comes out, we know that it's not going to be $399. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be top pricing. And anyone would be crazy to buy that on day one. You might as well just leave it 6 months and get it for, you know, £400.
Yeah, you'll get all the accessory offers though, won't you, as well? You'll get the Pixel Buds thrown in, or a watch, or they'll try and sweeten the deal.
Yeah, be interesting to see that. Okay, so we had the me copying you on the Pixel 8, and I copied you on something else, which you already know about because I bought it off you, and that was the GameCube.
Yeah, we had a bit of a meet-up as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Albeit very brief.
So I suppose I got a couple of things off you. So one of the things that I'm doing at the moment is trying to get all my gaming systems sorted out and make sure that I've got, you know, one of all of the sort of vintage consoles that I want. And I think I've pretty much got that now. So I've got all the bases covered in terms of the SNES, the Mega Drive, PC Engine, and the one that I've always liked but never had was the GameCube.
Mm.
And so I think you had about 20 or 30 GameCubes at the time.
I've still got about 10 or 11. It's one of them things that once you've got them, I think I'm stuck with them. I'm planning to move shortly, and the amount of technology that I have is quite shocking. My 20-plus 2003 Apple keyboards that have got enough till I die, and my mice is just another example of that lunacy.
Nice. Do you still use that keyboard every day?
Yeah? Yeah, it's plugged into the Mac Studio, and nice. I have 20, and the mouse, the big mighty mouse. I've got wireless versions, but I prefer the wired versions, and I think I've probably got about 20 of each just to last me until, you know, I'm an old man. And
To be fair, you're wise, because I bought a batch of 3 Microsoft IntelliMice thinking that that would be enough to see me forever. And I actually went through them pretty quickly, and now I'm having to use a newer model IntelliMouse that Microsoft did just before they stopped making mice completely. So now if this one dies, I'm out of luck. I'm going to have to sort of try and find an alternative, or, you know, because... Oh, I think we've gone. I think I've mentioned about IntelliMice before, but that you can get counterfeit ones now, and they're not good. So
every time you see one cheap, James, you should be buying it and sticking it under the bed.
You should, but all the cheap ones are counterfeit now, so you're in a kind of lose-lose situation there.
Mm.
Anyway, so back to the GameCube.
Yep.
So you were selling one, or did I maybe ask if you had one for sale? I can't remember exactly how the conversation
went. I opened up my my cupboard that's got about 10 in, and thought, I need to do something about this, because I've got all the accessories and paraphernalia that go with them as well. So you can imagine the storage space requirement.
I did take a wireless controller off you, the Wavebird.
Yeah, what was quick tangent? What do you make of that then? Because these are big money, aren't they, on eBay?
I suppose they are. You do pay a premium for them.
Mm.
I do think they're good because they're like identical to the original controller.
And
they've there was a little bit more bulk to them to have the wireless gubbins and the batteries and stuff. But yes, it feels similar to the OG controller.
Yeah, I preferred the wired ones. I do. I mean, I've got another Wavebird here and a couple of spare receivers because that's where the money lies. Purely because as a geek, you need to have one. But I much rather use a nice wired controller any day of the week with the GameCube. Yeah. They do.
And I highlighted to you the other day that you can, and they are starting to run out now, but you can still buy brand new GameCube controllers because they did a reissue of them a few years ago to coincide with the Smash Brothers game on the Switch.
Yeah.
And you can get like a GameCube controller adapter for the Switch. So they reissued the original GameCube controllers with the original connectors on.
Timeless design. Timeless.
Yeah, they are good. I have to admit, because I'm kind of new to GameCube. I always liked it when I was younger. I sort of would sort of look at it and play in like curries or whatever, but never had one for myself. So I'm really enjoying having it for myself. And I'm really enjoying the fact that you can you don't have to mod it to be able to play your ROMs on it.
This is interesting me because I've got 90 games here and they're getting more and more expensive to find.
The thing that I don't understand about retro system collection and retro game collection is I can totally get why you'd want a really good conditioned console. And it's kind of like when I was sort of buying it off you, I said, look, I'm not really bothered about the colour. I'm more worried about the condition.
Mm.
I can see why you'd want a good conditioned console, especially, you know, you wouldn't want one that had like interference on the outputs or the laser skipped and didn't, you know, read discs very reliably and all the rest of it. So fully understand why you'd want an original console, but where it's easier and quicker to load games off a EverDrive or some other sort of storage medium other than the discs or the original cartridges, and it's less faff because you're not swapping cartridges in and out, you're putting less wear and tear on the sort of console itself. I can't understand why everyone doesn't just want to play from ROMs and therefore there would be no market in the games.
Yeah.
But there's a massive market in the games. People playing hundreds and hundreds of pounds for the games. I think it's a completely different collecting mentality, isn't it? You're collecting baseball cards or Pokemon cards.
It is because
football stickers rather than the games themselves.
You wouldn't want to use them either in case you damage them. And the thing is, the GameCube as well, the GameCube's main weakness is that the laser goes. It doesn't break. There's a potentiometer on the board where the laser sits. Mm. And over the years, it starts to drift. And you can manually turn it back, change the values on it. So it starts to read discs again. But obviously, nobody knows this. So they all, when you look on eBay, all the broken ones, they don't play games. But within 2 minutes, you can have the cover off, turn the potentiometer with a screwdriver, yeah, and a multimeter, and it's back in action. So the very fact that you play games on it is the weak point on it. So that's what's going to kill it.
Yeah. So the sort of exploit that I use is the Action Replay cartridge.
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen the price of those?
But you know, you could buy those new from the company that makes it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in the wrong place.
So you can literally buy newly pressed ones for £30.
Right.
And the what that does is it boots off a special memory card that takes SD cards.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that because it's obviously quite an old workaround, the SD cards that it supports is limited to 2 gigabytes,
which is
a very old style SD card, but you can still get them, micro SD card.
They're quite, games are bigger than what you think as well on the GameCube.
Yeah. So what I do is I pair that up with a SP to SD little adapter on the bottom. So you're probably familiar with all these little hints and tips, but that's like there's a couple of serial ports on the bottom of the GameCube, and you can literally get like an SD card adapter that pops in there. And of course, once it's booted from this original 2 gigabyte micro SD card, and it boots into Swiss,
you can point
which is this that then points to a bigger SD card connected that's got all your games on. So it's a system that works brilliantly, and over and above soldering in a sort of replacement CD drive with like that runs directly off an SD card, a GC loader, which is what they're called. Rather than doing that, it probably takes an extra couple of seconds to boot because it spins up the Action Replay cart to sort of boot it into Swiss off this separate SD card through the memory card. So it probably takes an extra couple of seconds to load a game, but it's worth it for not having to faff about, you know, soldering stuff in and all that kind of malarkey. So, yeah, I've been playing through a few GameCube games. Have been really good playing Metroid Prime. And
I've been trying to get through. They're one games that I would love to complete. They're very long. They're very long.
So you got Metroid Prime, you got Resident Evil 3, which I think is a favourite of yours, isn't it?
I've done all the Resident Evils now, but there's one I haven't done. I think I haven't gone back and done it. I need to. It's just time. It's just time. Yeah. But yeah, I love the Resident Evils. They're getting expensive as well, some of them, the Resident Evils. I'd like to think that's where the money in my collection's worth. It's got some of the good ones.
Actually, it's not Resident Evil 3, is it? It's Resident Evil Nemesis. 4 on the GameCube. It's the one that they originally wrote for the GameCube.
There's one called Nemesis as well, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
3 Nemesis, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is me looking at CEX now. Yeah.
£48
for Resident Evil 2 with manual. Christ.
But why would you want the original game when you can just have the ROM? That's the big question. Nintendo aren't getting the money either way. Do you know what I mean? Capcom aren't getting the money either way.
No, I agree. £65 there for Mint Resident Evil 2. I'm not one of these people that collects to have them on show. I've taken them all out of all the cases and I've put them in a big folder. I'm one that just likes to play the game and experience the game. So I just buy loose discs and things off eBay. It's purely to do it. I just haven't invested the time or the money in all the extra peripherals for the GameCube yet. Just haven't.
So is it partly sort of playing it? Because obviously you want to play it on original hardware, so it's like how it would be played. So
yeah.
Is it part of that mentality, which is like, I almost want the exact loading times and the exact sort of transitions that you would get off a disc rather than it coming off a ROM. Is that kind of part of it or not?
I think so, because I play it on a CRT as well, and I wouldn't play it on a
black screen.
Yeah, because it looked rubbish. Code Veronica, that's the one I've just picked up that I need to play through. I like it on a CRT, and we all know how difficult CRTs are to find and play on. And
so we'll move on to CRTs then, because that's the other thing that I bought off you, because you had available a 17-inch PC monitor CRT.
Yeah, I've still got 5 more if you want another one. Not the monitor, the TVs with in-pin video.
Yeah, so I think buying that monitor off you, and that's when we met up, because obviously a CRT is something that you have to kind of transport in person. You can't really post it.
Yeah.
It's not the sort of thing you can put in a post box, is it? Because they are heavy, cumbersome beasts. Even if this was a 17-incher, so we're not talking, a 28-inch CRT here. We're talking a pretty small one.
Yeah, surprising how heavy that was.
Yeah. It's like lifting a little person, isn't it?
Yeah, crazy. How are you getting on with that? Because that was a special Trinitron, wasn't it?
It's a Trinitron tube, which I think is my minimum requirement on any CRT. It has to be Trinitron. And that's just, I had that sort of snobbery even from when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? Because we had a non-Trinitron TV, and then my dad got a Trinitron one, and it was like, oh my God, this is so much better. And I kind of never went back from that, you know. And they were never massively more expensive, to be honest. You weren't ever paying more than like a 10% premium to get a Trinitron tube.
Mm.
And of course, once the patent ran out on Sony Trinitron, you had all of the other Tron tubes come out. So all the manufacturers had their own equivalent of it. And I remember using this Sony CRT monitor made me realize how good a monitor I had back in the day. So I had an iArmor Vision Master Pro 410, and that was so cool. I mean, looking back on it, obviously, as soon as I could get like a pretty rubbish flat screen monitor, I did.
I know. What were we thinking?
But this CRT automatically had an auto button on it, and it would automatically, what do you call it?
Auto-adjusted
the screen so that it was perfectly fitted within the viewing area, which meant you didn't have to faff about with controls and all that kind of stuff. And obviously the one that I've got off you, it's all manual. Well, not manual, it's on-screen controls. But if you need to move it to the left, up, down, or adjust the pin cushion or anything like that, you have to do it manually through a simple sort of 3 or 4 button menu.
Modern Windows doesn't like CRTs neither. It was some very odd picture modes when I plugged in my ThinkPad into it just to test it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess your ThinkPad's got a VGA connector, is it?
Yeah, it had, yeah. Yeah, so it wouldn't do that 640 by 480 neither. Wasn't an option.
So, I mean, obviously the GameCube native resolution is 640, 480.
Mm.
So that's what I was trying to get on it. And interestingly, because there's no VGA out on the GameCube, to get the GameCube connected to it, I had to go a rather circuitous route in the end, which is massively elaborate, but involved getting the HDMI out of the GameCube and converting that HDMI to VGA. So the GameCube's a really amazing old console because it was made pre-HDMI, but they had a digital output on there, custom digital output.
Have you seen the price of those cables?
Yeah, for the component and things like that. But yeah. The thing is that they've reverse engineered those old cables now.
Mm.
So you can get new component cables and new HDMI adapters that are using the sort of reverse engineered protocols to be able to get new cables that are actually pretty cheap now. So you can get like an HDMI adapter for sort of £60, which isn't too bad. And apparently they put this digital output on the GameCubes originally for some 3D capability that never got used. But it's like definitely the earliest console that had digital output. Because if you think about the Wii's that came after it didn't have digital output.
No.
You know, they had analog output. They went back to analog output, if you like, before they went forward with the Wii U with HDMI and then the Switch, which had... obviously, USB-C digital out at that point. But yeah, to get VGA out was a bit of a mission, because if I went HDMI straight to a VGA adapter, admittedly a cheap VGA adapter, it was sort of wasn't locking on the signal on the monitor. So I actually had to put it through, my RetroTINK 4K output, which I imagine meant that it was outputting a very stable 480 60p that then this cheap VGA adapter could adapt onto the monitor quite easily. So I got there in the end. I put it through a GBSC in the end, didn't I? So it went through a RetroTINK 4K and then a GBSC into this monitor, which is massive overkill and over engineering. But we got there in the end and I was playing it and it is good and it does look authentic, but I think it has sated my desire for a CRT, because you do realise some of the limitations of it. Like if your eyes look away from the screen fractionally, you notice the flicker. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know whether that is just this particular monitor, but it does. You do realise that if you're not looking directly at the monitor, you get that flicker in the corner of your eye, and that's kind of feels like a little bit primitive.
So I obviously I've been using this studio display for a while, haven't I, now a year. I adore it, it's amazing. But I dug out, I was playing the GameCube the other day and I plugged in the CRT to play it, and yeah, I immediately felt like I was gonna have a headache.
Yeah.
they flicker so much. I think you get used to it if you're using it regularly, but I know what you mean. I thought there was something wrong with it in the end.
I guess that's just what we were used to.
Yeah, bright flicker as well.
Yeah, and it is a shame that CRTs do still have benefit in terms of, like, they're very, very responsive. Obviously, there's no, there's certainly very little manipulation of the signal as it comes in. you know, it comes in, it's pretty much sprayed onto the CRT directly. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, you're not sort of having much sort of scaling and all that sort of stuff, especially on 99% of, you know, consumer monitors. They're not going to have any sort of frame buffers in there or anything like that. It'd be way too expensive back in like the 80s and the 90s. So they're super quick. They're super colourful and bright. So they sort of do and they obviously sort of soften slightly any of these low resolution bitmap graphics that these consoles, like the sort of Mega Drive and the SNES and the GameCube, etc., were creating. So a really kind of good matchup back in the day. And we just chucked all of them away. It's such a tragedy.
Yeah, threw them all away. I just had a look at that cable, you know, the official component cable.
Yeah.
CEX, £130. Only one in stock as well. That's how rare they are.
Do you know what? That's less than it was a couple of years
ago.
Yeah,
it was like 230. Yeah.
It's I think they're coming down because these reverse engineered cables are now coming out for sort of 50 quid, 40, 50 quid.
I'd really like one just to see what all the fuss was about.
Yeah, apparently they do give good picture quality, but the TVs, the CRTs in the UK never really went in for component inputs because we had SCART inputs that did us in that kind of generation. And we never really had this sort of EDTV resolution being particularly popular here of getting 480p through components. So, yeah, our TVs never really had component.
But very odd with our SCART, weren't we?
Yeah, but some, you know, CRT monitors would obviously have component, and some of the CRTs that started to get into HD. So it's a very small window of time, wasn't there, where you'd get HD quality CRTs, like 1080i CRTs.
Yeah, I remember my girlfriend's dad at the time rented one from Radio Rentals, and it was a big, huge 28 widescreen thing, which was big at the time. It was like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Although, if you've got like a relatively old flat screen TV, it's probably got a component on. They've taken all the analog inputs off TVs now. So you've basically only got HDMI, which is a bit of a shame, but you'll certainly get component on some older flat screen TVs.
Yeah, it's getting much. I've just had a quick look there. You can't buy a new CRT. They just don't make them, which is understandable when you think of what's involved.
It's like the Concorde, isn't it? It's tech that existed in the past that's better in some ways than today's tech that we're just never going to see again. It's kind of weird. You always think of tech as moving forwards and never going back, but there you go.
Such is life.
But staying on gaming then. So you've bought a new console, which I've not been tempted with. I've kind of topped out at the PS4.
Yeah, but PS5, digital version as well. So I've seen myself right off with the expensive games having to be downloaded.
Okay, so in your future, Dave, can't even consider going down to CEX to get a game.
No, I'm stuck. I mean, I only play F1 on it, Formula One, and it is really good. Really good. I'm not a huge gamer, not modern games. So I just like to play Formula One and follow Formula One. But it's okay. I'm not blown away by it. I prefer older games, I would say. And as I said, I've seen myself really off with the digital only. Because I think there's only 800 gig built in. And I can add a memory card, another NVMe memory stick to it, but...
So do you see, would your ideal setup be one of those chairs, three massive widescreen monitors, full steering wheel and the pneumatic chair?
So I bought a stand with a full steering wheel and I bought the Logitech wheel and I had it all. So I sat in my chair and I had this steering wheel and everything in front of me, pedals, and I played it. And then I thought, what the hell are you doing, Dave? You're putting about £400 here. And you have to get it out. It takes up room in the corner. So I sent it back. In an ideal world, if I could have a proper sit-down chair and it was all connected and all one and I had the space, yeah, it'd be great. The reality of it for just casual gaming wasn't the best.
How come you did that then? Because did you find that you weren't any better with the wheel? That's always the problem that I have whenever I try one of these wheel setups.
I went for the realism of it, and what was it that did it for me? The flappy paddle gearbox thing hurt my hand. It was very violent.
Okay.
And yeah. I found myself overthinking it. I think I'd only just got the game at the time, and I turned everything off. So all the assists, all the traction control, everything, because I was going to be a Formula One driver with this this setup. And I probably hadn't played the game enough to get good enough at it. Since I've sent it all back, I now can play it perfectly fine with a controller, with nothing, no assists on or anything. But I wouldn't get it again because of the space it takes up. It's like to get it out and to use it, it's like a fanfare, and it's just too much hassle. The fun isn't there.
Is the F1 game like an EA job where you just get a new version of the game every year?
Yeah, it is, and some people are quite critical, but I quite like it. I quite like it. I think it's good.
So you're on like F1 24 at the moment?
Yes, yeah. I just paid £75 for that to come out. That was with a
£75?
Yeah, and that was with a discount because I had F1 23. This is what I mean, digital only. I'm stuck. I have to buy full price.
Am I slightly naive here? Since when were games £75?
Yeah, well, that was with £15 off. It was £90.
So. Are all PS5 games £90? This is a bit of a revelation to me.
They're about £60, £70. It depends. This was there was two versions of it.
Okay. What sort of deluxe version did you get?
I don't know, because it was the only one that was offered. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, expensive, isn't it?
Actually, I'm just sort of Googled it. I can see EA Sports F1 24 for £55 here.
I think might have paid a pre-release price as well.
Okay. And that's literally the only game you've got on it?
I've got some more games, yeah. I buy them when they come on offer, but I don't really enjoy playing it that much.
I must say, I don't play enough games, really. It's one of those things that as you get older, you wish you had more time to play it. And at the moment, I've got a little bit more time, and I'm still sort of struggling to play as much as I would like to. But I do really like the Switch, and you've got to admire how long the Switch has managed to eke out its existence for, haven't you?
Yeah, when are they expecting another one? Next week? Next year.
But I think what they might do with that is more of, you know, when they refreshed the old DS and 3DS, they just sort of add an I on the end, give it a few additional abilities, but don't actually massively change it.
Yeah, I think they'll overhaul it, if I'm honest.
I think it's been such a success for them, they might be a bit scared of
7 years, though.
Totally changing it. So why would they not just put a 1080 screen on it and give it a beefier, CPU and graphics card for newer games, but keep it totally backwards compatible?
For no idea.
Because then you could have like the selling point of running your old Switch games in 1080, because they could just switch into, desktop mode automatically for the old games.
I don't think people are going to buy it to play the old games. I think they'll buy it to play new. I think if they want to play the old games, they'll just keep the Switch.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you in terms of I was always a bit bemused by backwards compatibility being a big thing. Do you know what I mean? Because if you've got a new console, you're going to want to play the new games. You're not going to want to play the old games. But given the Switch has been around for so long and the catalogue is so vast, kind of wonder if people might not want to be playing their old Switch games on their new Switch. But we'll see. I think there's been a fair amount of rumours around the Switch 2, but it's not like the smartphone rumours where you can sort of bank on them sort of 6 months out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. When are they saying next year?
I don't know whether I think they're basically just sort of saying they're not going to make the announcement, they only said one official thing, which was that they weren't going to make an announcement at an upcoming Nintendo sort of conference, and that any announcement of future hardware would be made after that. And I think people read into it okay, it's coming out next year based on basically that, which probably seems fair because they're basically admitting that a future thing exists, which they rarely do. So, yeah, probably next year, and I guess let's say summer next year so that they can get a good run at Christmas.
Yeah, every time a new Metroid game comes out, I seem to buy another Switch, but I think we've got two in the house for the kids and they don't play them, so I might just borrow theirs the next time instead of buying them. I'm just looking at prices now. They're cheap enough, aren't they, for the light version?
Oh, yeah. And they're, one of the interesting things about some of these old consoles is the hardware mods that they do bring out, and one of the big things is bringing out much better screens for old consoles. So there's a massive market in bringing out really colourful, bright screens for like the Game Boy Advance, because that was famously had that unlit colour screen where you had to sort of direct a halogen light onto it to get any kind of fidelity. And they're now sort of releasing OLED screens for it and all sorts. So that's quite an interesting area. And they're developing an OLED screen for the Switch Lite. So right, you'd be able to swap in an unofficial OLED screen into a Switch Lite, which could make it quite a tempting proposition, because it's good having a D-pad on the left rather than that sort of four-button D-pad thing that you've got on the normal Switch.
Yeah, I prefer the Lite. We've got a Lite and a normal one in the house, and I don't think it gets used in handheld more than it does. Well, it doesn't. I think the kids are going through a phase. I don't think they really care about them anymore. That's why I begrudgingly buy PlayStation 5s and things, because for me, because they won't use them. I don't know. It's all about the tablets and the phones for the kids.
Yeah, I guess under a certain age, I guess tablets would be pretty much the primary thing, and then they're going to want their phones like everyone else, I guess.
Yeah, they love the phones and the tablets. They love them.
So, what's upcoming then, Dave?
In terms of purchasing?
Just in terms of tech you're interested in, yeah.
I don't know, really. I'm a bit at the moment. I'm liking eking out what I've got going. I'd have a Vision Pro if it was cheaper.
Really?
Yeah, but not at that price, nowhere near that price.
That's interesting that you say that, though. So what would be your bite point for a Vision Pro?
$1,200, $1,300. Really? Price of the old entry-level MacBook Pro.
So if it was coming out at $1,300, you'd be at least tempted, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd try and make that work.
Ah, see, I think for me, it has to be kind of Quest level pricing, sort of the sort of 200, 300 quid sort of job. Maybe sort of 399.
I might try and book myself a demo, actually.
Yeah, I could. I mean, I do accept it's a bit like all these VR glasses that we've all tried. When you're trying them, they are amazing. And it sounds like the Vision Pro is amazing. But all of the sort of podcasters now are basically saying that these Vision Pros that they got for launch are just sort of sat in the cupboards. And that's the ones that didn't get bored of them after 2 weeks and just return them.
And that's what happened with my Quest, really, to be fair. They just sat there.
Still got a Quest 1 sat in a cupboard, unused. I should really get round to selling it. I mean, I guess it's probably not worth more than sort of 75 quid or so now, is it? I don't know what the second-hand market of Quests is, but I should probably get round to selling mine.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get much for that. Oh, look, I can book a demo on the 13th of July for the Vision Pro. There we go. What time should I book that for? I think I will book it for, what do you reckon, 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock?
1 o'clock, you know, nice little lunch date.
Yeah, 3 o'clock's too late, isn't it? What time should we book your demo? 1 o'clock. Oh, there we go. Well, I'm excited now. That'll give me something to do.
So by the time that we have the next episode of the Tech Box, you'll probably be with Vision Pro.
I couldn't justify that price, but it will be nice to have, there we go, reserved. Brilliant.
Nice. But it's interesting you say that price, because I think that that's the target price, isn't it? It must be, in their minds, that must be the target price that they're looking at getting to.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's too expensive at the moment.
Yeah, I can't imagine who, especially in the UK, now that all the sort of buzz has died down from the US, I really can't imagine anyone in the UK is going to be falling over themselves to get it, really.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the... well, there's not going to be any UK reviews, is there? Unless they send them out. We got any UK reviews that you think?
I guess they will send them out, won't they? So to a sort of UK-focused publication. So I guess we'll see a very small ripple of new reviews come out, maybe coinciding with the new version of the Vision OS.
Yeah.
Just got a few tweaks in there from the old one.
It'd be nice to see a cheaper version, wouldn't it, when the Vision OS 2 comes out?
Well, I don't think they're going to be bringing new hardware out until at least next year. And then I guess they'll sort of try and bring their cheaper version out, because they've gone in with the word Pro on this first product. So a lot of people are speculating that next year there'll be a non-Pro that'll be cheaper, lighter, but with probably lesser screens. So it'll be quite interesting. And obviously, once you have lesser screens, you won't be able to use one of the main use cases, which is using it as a monitor. As soon as you take the resolution down, you're never going to be able to use that as an effective monitor, even though watching films and stuff will be absolutely fine.
That's what I would use it for, a monitor for the computer. But
well, you've got to get the Pro then.
I'll be able to report back, won't I, in the next podcast, because I've used the Quest 3, how it compares.
Yeah, so basically we could have a review of the Vision Pro from you, Dave.
Yes, I'll get someone to film me. That'll be good. I could see that going down well. So trying to sort of film with it on. No, I look forward to that. I have to shoot off now, I think.
Cool. Well, it's been good catching up.
Definitely. I will report back with my Vision Pro mission.
And we'll have to see if you actually parted with... Have you got any organs or, you know, like a car or something that you could sell for 4K that would mean that you're coming back on the podcast with it in hand?
I'm just going to try and sell the GameCubes. I'll try and sell some GameCubes. The UK's only GameCube salesman.
If you sold all your GameCubes, I reckon you would be able to get a Vision Pro.
Maybe. To the right buyer. I need to find someone that's desperate for GameCubes and CRT monitors.
No, you couldn't do that to yourself, because then when that Vision Pro goes into the cupboard that's currently being occupied by the GameCubes, you'll be sad.
Then I can go and hunt GameCubes again. It's nothing better.
Cool. All right, Dave, have a good day, and we'll speak soon.
Speak soon, James. Bye.
Cheers then. Bye.